Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, is away on a ministry venture, but we are right in the middle of a very exciting conversation about the gospel and its power with two guest hosts, Mr. Kevin Brownfield and Dr. Wynn Kimbrough. And guys, I really want to jump right back into where we were in our last broadcast. For those of you listening, we've basically been tracing the history of the gospel through the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And in our last broadcast, we noted that the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give us the facts of the story of Jesus' life. We talked about the gospel content being the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we talked about what happened when 11 men who were transformed by that story started talking about it to the world. And in the book of Acts, it's one of the most amazing, exciting stories and verifications of the awesome, sheer power of the gospel to save people, because these 11 people started talking about this and 120 people come to Christ in the upper room. Then the power of Pentecost falls and they start talking about it, and the chief persecutor of the church gets saved. We have 3,000 saved in Acts 2. In Acts 5, there's 5,000 people. And by the time you get to Acts 8, there's 7,000 at least believers in Jerusalem. And people from all over the world that day have come to Jerusalem and have heard the gospel and taken it back with them. To the point that the chief enemy of the gospel himself is overwhelmed by the power of this message and is transformed and eventually becomes its primary preacher. And you pointed out in Acts 28, verse 28, that the salvation of God has been sent to Gentiles. And Paul is for 2 years in Rome preaching this and announcing this salvation unhindered. And that led us to our final comment in Romans 1. No wonder Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm ready to preach it.
And we fast forward 2,000 years, and we're still preaching the same message.
Same content.
And we are trying to answer the question I think you're going to get to here in a couple moments about the power of the gospel today in our generation, in our world, with our people, in our small, medium, large churches, in our daily walk, in our lives and lifestyles, in our workaday world that many people live in our homes with our children and in our local churches. The gospel, the same message, the power to save, the power of the gospel. And I think that we're going to be looking at what that means, what it includes. And the book of Romans has something to say about that.
Kevin, why don't you read Romans 1, 14 through 17?
Well, here Paul says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek.
In verse 14, Paul says, I am under obligation, or I am a debtor. And then in verse 15, he says, I am eager, I am prepared, I am ready to preach the gospel. So there's an obligation that he senses to the world, and then there's a readiness to go with this message. And then the verse that we're all familiar with is verse 16, I am not ashamed. And the idea that sometimes we get about this is that Paul was this super bold person, and he had no embarrassment at all about the gospel, and he would go and tell this gospel to everyone. And yet all through the New Testament, Paul is asking people to pray that God would give him boldness. So I'm not sure that the I am not ashamed part here is this picture of Paul as being this fearless person that would just open up his mouth and talk to anybody. He did open his mouth and talk to everybody, and he did ask people to pray. But I actually think the I am not ashamed here might be a little different than we're actually thinking. And the idea is, I will never be let down by this gospel. I am eager to come and preach it to you. I'm prepared to preach it to you. I have an obligation to do so, but here's the thing. I will never be let down by this gospel. I will never have reason to regret preaching it to you.
Paul is saying that in light of the fact that it isn't he that is the power. It's not me. It is what? The power of the gospel. So there's something about this message. And, of course, when we think of the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it goes to the inner man. So there is something so powerful.
Yeah. I mean, we've all had this experience. I'm sure you've had it and I've had it, where we really gave some advice to somebody and they took our advice and it didn't go well. And it didn't produce what we said it would produce. And we're looking at them and we feel bad and we say, I am so sorry that I led you that way, or I'm so sorry I gave you that advice. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. And Paul is saying, I don't have to worry about that with the gospel
yeah. yes.
because it will never result in that. It will never lead me to regret sharing it with you. I have an obligation to share it with you. I'm eager to do it. And I will never regret doing it because the gospel will never let me down. Now, why is that? Why can he say that? Well, here's why. The little word for in verse 16 is the word because. Now he's going to start giving us the reason why he's so eager and so confident about this gospel. Because in verse 16, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And then he says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. In other words, I will never regret announcing this message to you because this message gives from God the divine ability to be rescued from God's wrath. Hmm. To anybody who wants it, it doesn't matter if they're on the Jew side of the equation under the Torah and the law of Moses or the Greek or the barbarian side of it. Because in Paul's day, a righteous Jew would divide the world up into two parts. The people of God who were close to God, the Jews, and the people that God created to be the fuel for hell's fires, everybody else.
Right. Right.
And Paul's saying it doesn't matter in which category you put yourself, whether you're a Jew or whether you are a Gentile. This gospel is big enough and powerful enough for anybody who wants it. So how does a person get it? And Paul's answer to that is faith. I am eager to preach the gospel to you at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who, what?
Believes. Question that comes to my mind is because I have encountered a lot of people today who will say, well, I believe that Jesus lived and I believe this or I believe that. Is there something fundamentally different about this word believe in the New Testament than what we might think of today?
Well, I think so. I think the first thing I would say about the word believe is it's something that everybody can do. When I'm taking a message to somebody and the message has a requirement to it that you have to put $50,000 into something or you have to take $10,000 and put it in or you have to meet these qualifications, immediately I've limited the message. And so I go only to the people that I perceive have $50,000 or I only go to the people who I perceive are racially qualified. You know, if the message is for Ecuadorian indigenous Indians, then why would I go to Peruvian businessmen or to Panamanian coffee marketers? Bottom line, Paul is saying, I have a message and the only requirement that God has on that message is belief. Now, what do we mean by belief? It's not just intellectual belief. Belief is responding appropriately to whatever God told me to believe about Jesus Christ. Anybody can do that. There isn't an economic qualification. There isn't a health qualification. There isn't a racial qualification. There isn't a religious pedigree qualification. Anybody, anywhere on the planet, can do what Paul said. And that's what Paul said, I'm eager to tell you this message.
So when we use the term exclusive, we're not talking about the fact that this message is only excluded to a certain people. What we're talking about is that the message is that there's only one way to God, but anybody, everybody
has access to
has access to this message.
And the way you get on the path is through the door of belief. I mean, it's the old Pilgrim's Progress
yes.
imagery of the gate. And Jesus himself uses the gate imagery. So the gate becomes belief. Now, belief is a broad concept in the sense of it's not just, well, okay, I know facts. There is a factual part of it. I mean, you
yes.
do have to believe certain facts about the gospel, but it's not just that you believe them intellectually. You actually have to embrace them personally. They can't just be facts about something. We use the word trust. Our English word trust is what we're talking about because trust involves a belief component that is expressed in certain responses. If I trust that chair over there to hold me up, Belief is mentally acknowledging, hey, that chair will hold me up, and Kevin, you're right, I can sit on it. Trust is actually acting on that belief and sitting. And that's what we're talking about here when Paul talks about the word belief.
In light of all that, something has to be overcome. You're saying the gospel is powerful, but you're talking about people who are dead in trespasses and sin. They are blind. They are incapable on their own to do anything about this. So you're saying that there is something about this message that overcomes all of that.
And that's why it is the power of God. Now, the word of there is the key. It's that little preposition of. It is the power that is sourced in and comes from God. And Ephesians talks about this in chapter 2 when it talks about the word quickening. God literally takes his power and he makes people alive so that they can respond to this gospel. That's the whole concept in 2 Corinthians 4 when it talks about people being blinded by the god of this world. And now God, literally, who caused light to shine in the beginning, has shined in our hearts so that we would see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That's the key. It's not just that I believe something about God. I actually have to believe what God told me to believe about his son, Jesus Christ. And God has to open my spiritual eyes so that I will see that. And that's why Paul said, I don't have to manipulate the thing. I don't have to create a better way to tell the story. I don't have to do whatever we've tried to do to make the gospel work. The minute we try to make the gospel work, we've assumed that the power for the gospel comes from us. And it doesn't. It comes from God. Now, that doesn't diminish the fact, Paul, in the same breath that he's saying this, says anybody can have access to it. Anybody who wants it can come. God is not willing that any should perish. But that doesn't take away the fact that literally for belief to happen, God's power has to engage. And that's the beauty of the story. The story contains the power of God. It's fueled by it. It's energized by it. It's affected by it.
We really don't want to overlook the most incredible thing that Paul says. He says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. And then in verse 17, he says, for in it is the righteousness of God. Here's the great transaction that takes place.
And that's what we need to talk about in our next broadcast, because that is the whole point to this. That's why the power of God has to be its source, because of what Paul is going to say next. So you'll have to tune in, radio listeners, to the next broadcast in our series, The Power of the Gospel, as we come now to this key verse, verse 17. But we're all out of time on this broadcast. You'll have to go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and download the first 6 broadcasts, What Gives the Gospel Its Power, our last broadcast in the series, The Power of the Gospel. Until then, may the Lord bless you.